hopefully spend less time talking and a bit more time praying. Because the one that we're doing this morning is strong. And I just want to quickly sort of genuinely motor through this so that we can give some time to pray, and you'll understand why. I don't know. You know, I guess many of you follow the news. Some of you probably more intense than others, and you a lot more detailed than other people. But I sat this morning listening to some people talking about the whole subject of encouragement, discouragement, all surrounding the very sad nature of the head teacher who took a life just a few days ago as a result of the Ofsted inspection. You're all familiar. It's been headline news for a week or so now. And as they talked to the family and the other relevant people around, I was really engaged with the fact that somehow in there it wasn't just the what many would say the cruelty of the Ofsted inspectors and the way that they delivered what they believed was the truth about the school, but more the fact that building up for some time was an erosion, I think you would call it, of this woman's hope in the vocation that she believed was her life's mission. And those years ago when she got into teaching, then went through the ranks to eventually head up a school, you know, almost getting to the pinnacle of your profession. But in there, she had got incredibly disillusioned by the vision of what she hoped she would achieve through the job that she had got. And we're all familiar with this. I'm not throwing stuff out there that's a shock or a surprise, but we know that in many areas of life, people are very disillusioned. And in the beauty of the world around us, there's an incredible brokenness as droves of people leave the teaching profession, the medical profession, other vocations that have just weighed so heavy because the call upon their lives to be caring, to be educators, to enrich the life of others, suddenly has got overrun with so much other stuff around there. The fact now that they're looking for other ways to express something of their life and their opportunities. I don't know, I guess, you know, with the crowd that we've got here, we could all probably nod at least to the fact that at some point in our lives, a bubble has burst, as we refer to. Something that we got ambition for that went horribly wrong or just mildly wrong. Relationships that got damaged, jobs that weren't quite the fulfillment that we thought they were going to be. And perhaps family and relationships that are the closest and strongest to us suddenly seem to dissolve and disintegrate. And we seem to be at a point where we're looking around, even as those of faith, just wondering where the next step should go and what direction. In life, natural maturity, as a parent, you've seen it in your kids, and it obviously happened to you, it's the cycle of life. The natural line of maturity is that we discover our faculties, we look at the skills that we've got, we begin to develop areas that are of interest to us. And eventually, Liam and all these other kids around us will grow to a sense of, and that's the aim, of independence. Where they've developed all their, you know, all their skills and ideas, they've got ambition in their heart and mind, and then they begin to go it on their own and begin to achieve life, almost independent of all the things around them. That's human maturity. Of course, the kingdom of heaven turns so many things on their head because Christian maturity is actually quite the opposite. I don't know if I were to ask you, if you're somebody who's known Jesus for a while, how you would measure maturity in a Christian, you know, whether you just got the amount of hours that they pray, the amount of Bible verses that they can quote, the amount of hours they spend in this place called church. I don't know, they're all probably a little bit of a measure, but the real heart of somebody's depth and growth and maturity in God, where does it go? Because you see, those that are really mature have learned that in our faith, this isn't about being independent, this is about being dependent. Right throughout our lives, and we get into the rhythm of our lives, that's what God has called us to be, so that we never get to the point of, God, I know it all, I've prayed it all, I've said it all, I've sung it all, I'm good, thanks, I can do this. Worrying, dangerous ground to stand on. And the Bible, when it comes to strong and God's strength, and I've looked at this extensively over these last couple of days, it doesn't in any way, shape or form attempt to prove to us the strength of God. What it does do is give us example after example of God's ability of strength in people's lives and situations. And then out of that, it invites us in to partake and be a part of that. All the mixture together of the independence. So God isn't strong just for his own benefit and his own grounding. He's strong because you and I are weaker than we think. And he knows that. Whatever letters you've got after your name, however much you've got in the bank account, whatever great reputation you've got in those around you, that is great. And keep building all those things. But actually, make sure that the rhythm of life is that the more you grow, the more you listen, the more you learn, the more you depend upon God for every day of your breath and life. So I just want to spend a few minutes emphasizing that little point through a number of verses that I've got here, talking about God's strength, not proving to you that he's strong. I don't need to do that. The Bible doesn't need to do that. But actually introducing you and inviting you to be part of the strength, the ability that God has that he's providing on our behalf. I'm going to rush through these. They're all on the screen. Thanks, Ryan. So here we go. There are many more, but I picked six that I think are relevant this morning. Six things we get when we rely on God's strength. Number one, a way to fight battles. Psalm 18, for you equip me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. David, he's reflecting on battles of the past and the victories that God has won, knowing that there are still battles ahead to face, and saying in all of that, God, I'm relying on your strength. I'm dependent upon you. A way to fight battles. Number two, things we get when we rely on God's strength. Water in the desert. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Psalm 21. We're all prone to worry and fear. But when we sing, there's something I believe with all my heart that's released into our soul and into our heart. Why? Because worship isn't simply about singing songs, because that's what church does. And, you know, the songs of the past and the songs of the present and the power that they have, the melody, the words that go together to conjure up something that's really atmospheric. When I'm worshiping, so much of what's going on in these words is about position. God's position and my position, his worthiness, my unworthiness, my inability, his inability. His sovereignty, my incapacity. And as you sing these songs, there's a declaration you're making to yourself to say, in all of this, God, I am putting you, number one, high above anything and everything. And I realize where I sit down the pecking order in all of that. That's why I'm relying upon you. Water in the desert. Worship strengthens us. It positions us. A way to fight battles, water in the desert. God on location. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is not only present in time, but he's present in location. No matter where we go, physically, emotionally, or spiritually, God is on location with you there, whatever, however. Never diluted, never dysfunctional, present. A way to fight battles, water in the desert, God on location. A way to feel enough, Psalm 73. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. get this. I don't know how many of you follow my 60 seconds with Steve every Monday morning, 7 o'clock, Facebook, Instagram. Tune in. But here's an interesting fact that I read recently, and if you follow it, then I said something about it a couple of weeks ago. 70% of the population, 70, suffer with imposter syndrome. Gosh, 70%. The idea that you're not actually fully capable of doing what you're paid to do. And the idea that one day you're going to get found out. 70%. The psalmist here, he recognizes human frailty. My heart and my flesh fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever, a way to feel enough. Another thing we get when we rely on God's strength, a home for my heart. Above all things, the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it are the wellsprings of life. But this is the psalm. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Blessed are those to be envied. If you're reading the Beatitudes, blessed are those who... To be envied of those who we can find a home, a place of rest. That'd be nice some days, wouldn't it? When we find our strength, not just in our skill, ability, PhD, whatever it might be, but in God. A way to fight battles, water in the desert, God on location, a way to feel enough, a home for the heart, and a way of escape. Psalm 140, Lord, my Lord, the strength of my salvation. This is Old Testament, this is the time of law and doing and obedience. And the psalmist has got the picture right. Because he's saying, I've got your salvation. I know what it is to have the rescue of God. And what I'm doing is I'm cultivating and growing my reliance on God's strength. That's what you've got to do. Don't wait for the moment when the trial comes to suddenly go, what was it Steve said? Or whoever it was said. No, what must I do? Like anything, as you cultivate and grow a reliance on God's strength, then when the moments come that challenge the very foundation of our lives, we're not panicking. We're not running here, there and everywhere. We're not suddenly questioning God's commitment to my life and my well-being because I've cultivated this idea that I know that. I know that I've got it in the bank so that when the day comes, I just go into the account and take out what I need because I'm relying on God's strength. And I just believe today that I'm not here to sort of say one or two of you need God's strength. I think every single person in this crowd this morning needs to come back to the notion of I want to be a mature Christian. I want to be mature by relying on God, by recognizing God is strong. And he's strong so that in my weakness, I can rely upon him. And in that reliance, I can see the victory that we sing about. It's not just some false dawn. It's not just some great song. It's not just some, you know, celebration that we try and conjure up and we all feel good in this crowd and everybody's saying the same and singing the same. But actually, it's something that is the very soundtrack of my life, my reliance on him. Be good to pray, I think, wouldn't it? And I do want to take the chance. It's 10 to 11. 15 seconds each. Get round it in an hour and a half, I guess. I do want to take the chance just to pray and just invite God by his Holy Spirit to come and take the words that I've shared and the momentum of what the Bible teaches us And for each one of us to reach out and go, God, yeah, right now, I break from my independence and come into dependency. I recognize all these things and I want them to be part of my day-to-day routine so that my reliance is upon you. That the world around then just feeds off that and goes, what the heck, Wendy, gosh, all them stuff you go through at school. Man, how do you do that? Not me, mate, not me. Him. Would you stand with me, if you would, please? And just as Fiona just quietly plays, if you don't mind, Fee, that'd be lovely, thank you. I'm just going to invite a few people to wander. So there's Stephen and Juliet and Wendy and one or two life group leaders around who are used to praying with people. Leary and Nelson here. And I'm just going to invite them to just go and pray. Just go down and pray with each person. There might be pit stops where suddenly you feel you want to pray for Stuart here because there's something on your heart to pray for. Please don't feel awkward or intimidated by this. We're doing this because I believe that you need to walk out of here more reliant on God than you did coming in an hour or so ago. And if you want to come out here, I'm here at the front. I'd love to pray with anybody. If there's something in particular in your life, the bubble has burst and you're saying, I just need lifting up. I'm absolutely down there in the you-know-what. And I need lifting out of that. Please pray for me. I'd love to do that. So in a few minutes' time, I'm just going to check that everybody's being prayed for. And if not, we'll be dispatching people to come and pray for you. So if you're a life group leader, part of the prayer team, just begin to wander around and pray from seat to seat. And anybody wants to come out here and me to pray for them, I'd love to do that. Come on, let's just pray together. If your life group leads, begin to